Well, good morning and welcome to one and all. The joys of Zoom. We can sit and comfortable, most of us comfortable certainly, in our own homes without having to plough through what is literally a foot of snow in the church grounds. Last week, Francis said we had a backup plan in case Amos couldn't manage home or wouldn't be available to take the service. I'm delighted to say, as most of you I think know now, Amos did get home, but it was late last night. Thankfully, earlier in the week, he did ask for Plan B to be put into action, and here I am with a little help. Speaking of help, we are having one or two apprentices working at the moment on doing the technical side of the service over these few weeks. So if there are one or two minor hiccups, please excuse them. One intimation, the Kirk session will meet on Tuesday evening, 7:30 via Zoom. Today was a chance for a number of themes, potential themes. There was Transfiguration Sunday, which is the last Sunday before Lent. Amos spoke about that 3 weeks ago, so that one's out the window. There was the possibility of the Chinese New Year last Friday, with the Year of the Ox coming in. There was the start of Lent this incoming week. We could think of COVID-19 inoculations. And those who are joyfully running around now, having had theirs, and God willing, by this time next week, a good lot more of us will have had their COVID injection. I could speak about the weather, the snowmen, all the niceties outside. I could speak about rugby, and I stopped short of putting on a red tie, but I thought a black tie was maybe more appropriate for today, just to keep Bill happy at least. Nevertheless, those who have seen the order service will know I've gone for the safe option because today is St. Valentine's Day, which doesn't always fall on a Sunday. The theme is love. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 5, verses 11 to 12. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield. Last week, Francis had a Christmas hymn. This week, with the snow and everything else, why not have another? An appropriate one. Love came down at Christmas.
Our first reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And the second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Now we come to our next hymn, which is Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind.
Jesus, the true thy prayer. We come before God with our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Love is patient and kind. Lord, it is hard to be patient when there is so much we need and want to do. When other people slow us down, it is easy to forget to be kind. Love is not jealous or conceited or proud, but we are, God. We look at some people and think we are better than they are. We look at other people and feel jealous of what they have and what they can do. Forgive us. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable, but we often blurt out rude, hurting names and accusations almost before we know what we are saying. Help us learn to think before we speak. Love does not keep a record of wrongs, but we remember even those wrongs we have really tried to forgive. We remember them and bring them up when we are angry or when we want our own way. We use them to hurt even the people we love. Help us to forgive and forget. Love is not happy with evil. Love is happy with the truth. But it is hard not to take secret delight when people get what they have coming to them. Teach us compassion, God. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. But we give up easily. We give up on other people. We give up on ourselves. We give up on making a difference. We lose hope that anything will ever be any different. Hear this about God's great love. God is patient and kind. God does not keep a record of our wrongs. God does not remember our failings at loving, but is happy about every one of our successes. God never gives up on us, because God's love is forever. And now let us come together as one and say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So on Valentine's Day, what more appropriate theme is there to speak about than love? At a holiday club a few years ago, one of the topics we looked at was love. And as part of the Sunday service, we asked everyone in the congregation to complete the statement, love is... You can have a think about how you would finish that sentence. And it was very interesting to read everyone's responses, and it showed that love means different things to different people in different circumstances. And we will hear more about that later on. As most of you will know, I enjoy my music, particularly singing, and I sung with the National Youth Choir of Scotland for many years. This gave me many wonderful opportunities and created some brilliant memories, and it was certainly a time of my life that I loved. As I said, I have many great memories of my NICOS years, and one of those is being part of a recording for Songs of Praise. Hymns included For All the Saints, When Jesus Saw the Fishermen, and Love Divine. Love Divine would have been an ideal choice for today's service, but there are so many perfect options that some didn't make the cut. And for a hymn like Love Divine, which tune do you sing those well-known words to? Heifredal or Blanwern? Maybe Stainer? Or we could use another recognisable tune like Ode to Joy. And yes, it does work. All of these are great choices, and we will all have our favourites. In NICOS, our version we did was by Howard Goodall, which of course for me is my favourite. And while the hymn is one of Wesley's best known, it is also considered a prayer. In the prayer of the hymn, we are asking Jesus to enter our hearts, set our hearts free from sin, and make us a new creation in him. And all of that is possible with his all-encompassing love. Because the Goodall version is not so well known, I'm going to share a little excerpt of this piece, and I would suggest that if you have the time, have a listen to the whole piece or look at the lyrics and say them as a prayer. Be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Amen. And now we come together to sing again, going from one prayer to another, singing the hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's dirt, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace, where there's despair in life, let me bring home. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light, and where there's sadness, bring your joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved. Love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. For when we give, we will ourselves receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we gain eternal life.
I have been asked to make an intimation from Amos, and he would like to say that it's his intention to do a 40 days Lenten series of reflections beginning on Ash Wednesday, in other words, this coming Wednesday. It would be the same as last year, but this will be for 40 days. So please look out for them on the church website and follow the thoughts through the season of Lent. Claire did say that you could listen to Love Divine. Simply go onto YouTube and look for Love Divine Goodall, and you can actually see the recording for Songs of Praise. And with a bit of luck, you might recognise a familiar face, albeit 14 years ago, but she's still the same. It was June 1967. Our world, the first live global television link, was broadcast by a satellite and seen by an audience of over 400 million people in 25 countries. Britain's contribution was a song written by John Lennon, and Lee's lyrics were deliberately simplistic to allow for the show's international audience and capture those utopian ideals associated with the summer of love. The song topped the charts in Britain, the United States, and many other countries, and became an anthem for the embrace of flower power philosophy. The song was, of course, "All You Need Is Love." And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it this morning in public. And that's what this service is all about. It's about love. That's what our hymns are all about today. That's what life is all about. From the moment you're born until the moment you die, every second and every minute and every hour, every day, every month, every year and every decade in between, the purpose of life is God giving you and me the time to learn how to love as God loves. The purpose of time, of every moment, is that God is teaching us what it means to be genuinely loving people. The shape of God's love in us never stays the same. The shape of God's love in us is forever changing throughout all our lives. If you're a three-year-old, the shape of love is that of a three-year-old. A little three-year-old comes up and, without ever asking or thinking about it, throws his or her arms around you, kisses, hugs, licks, pulls, tugs, and slobbers all over you. Not so older sons or daughters or children. They wouldn't be caught dead doing that. But the love of a little three-year-old gushes out all over you. Then, the shape of love begins to change, because God's love in us is forever changing. You become a little older, and let's say you're in primary five. I remember that sort of time well with all the boys. We'd play football out in the street, down at the bottom of Norwood, behind Craighead. There's Roddy and Bobby and John and Gordon and Tommy and Billy. Or we'd be playing in the woods together. What a great time. Just boys, no girls. We had nothing to do with girls. That was the shape of God's love in us when we were that age. All and totally boy. Or girl, I'm sure, for the girls. Time passes. The shape of God's love in you and me changes again. Let's say at about 15 years old, the opposite sex becomes much more appealing. We may well fall in love. And what wouldn't we do at that age for the love of our teenage life? The years pass, and as young adults, we become even more aware of others. Before we know it, we can feel madly and passionately in love with them. Not at all the feelings of a three-year-old. Not like feelings towards the boys in P5. Not even like the wonderful feelings of a young puppy love at 15. These feelings were much more intense when a youngster. We can get married, move from the family home and have children. There's another shape to love. I had never fully anticipated what it felt like to have your own child. The ecstasy, the joy, the thrill, the responsibility. This was definitely another newer shape and shade of God's love in me. The years can go quickly by in a marriage, and you discover that there is a quality of love that has always been there, but is something different to the years before. It is the quality of friendship, where your spouse becomes your best friend. These feelings of friendship aren't like falling in love as a teenager, or the passionate love of a young man or a young woman. The friendship is deepening. and before you know it, there can be grandchildren. What can you say except that all or almost all grandparents know the feelings towards their grandchildren? The joy, the happiness, without all the work, without all the responsibility, sending the children back home to their house with their parents. What a life. Life quickly changes again. It feels as if the pace of life is on fast forward, even more so now. We can see so many couples take care of each other as they grow older. The diseases, the incapacities, the strokes, the cancer, the baths, even the heartbreaking decision to put them into a home that can care for them in a way that you can't. The shape of love has moved even past the friendship that had deepened throughout the decades. Death comes. The house is empty. Time is empty. The shape of love is now a great big gaping hole in one's heart. And memories. That is what life is all about. From the moment we are born until the moment we die. Every second, every minute, every year, every decade, and every moment in between. God is trying to teach us one thing, to love as God loves. And the shape of love is always changing, always expanding. Foolish is a person who thinks he or she knows what love is at 15, or 25, or 55, or 75. Because the shape of God's love in us is forever expanding and changing in our lives. The Apostle Paul wrote one of the most beautiful odes to love found in either secular or religious literature, arguably better than Robert Burns himself, when he wrote those words in our second reading this morning from William. That is what it's all about. All you need is love from the moment you're born until the moment you die. In 1 John chapter 4, the author says, God is love. And that's the first recorded time in history that this phrase has ever been said. God is love. I ask you the question, how did John come to that conclusion? Did he look at the history of the human race and come to that conclusion that God is love? It seems to me that looking at human history, all you see is war and killing throughout the centuries. Did he look at Mother Nature and conclude that God is love? I think not. You look at nature and its beauty, its mystery, its symmetry, and you can conclude that the creator of the universe understands beauty, artistry, and mystery. But you can't conclude that God is love. Did the author of 1 John look at other world religions and come to the conclusion that God was love? I think not. The other world religions have been fighting with each other from time immemorial, each one claiming to be true. So how did the author conclude for that first time that God is love? He looked at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. The author looked at the quality of love in Jesus for his parents and family, for his disciples, for all the lepers, the blind, the lame. He looked at the quality of love that he died on the cross on behalf of everybody. The author realized that Jesus was the most loving person he had ever seen. Secondly, he saw that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus had been raised from death and had conquered death itself. The author then came to that conclusion. Jesus is God. Jesus is love. Therefore, God is love. If it is true that the very core of the universe is love, then God wants us to grow in love. In the Bible, God doesn't command us grow in intelligence. If the very core of the universe was intelligence, then God would have said, get smarter and smarter. But God didn't say that in the Bible. If the very essence of the universe was power, then God would be essentially energy and power, and God would want us to grow in power and more power. But because the core of the universe is love, and God is love, then God wants us to be like God, to be more loving. God wants us to experience love, to grow in love. Let me ask you another question. What does it mean to experience God, to know God? Does it mean to have a bubbly religious feeling inside, to experience religious and emotional ecstasies? Well, imagine there had been a wonderful snowstorm and everything is pure white all around. Shouldn't be too hard to imagine these days. Pour a little something, let's say a little red wine, into the snow and imagine that that represents our sins. Kick the freshly fallen snow to cover up the red marks of the wine. This simple example shows how easily God covers up our sins and forgives them. That is what it is to know God, to have experiences with God. I'm suggesting to you that to experience God is to experience the love of God. It is to experience love for other people. And most often, those are not feelings of elation at all. Love, almost always, is a lot of hard work. To experience the love of God for others always involves work, exhaustion, tears. When you think of your own stories and experiences with this love, your stories will always involve work, commitment, exhaustion. That's what it always means to love. As we approach the start of the season of Lent this incoming week, we can focus once more that God loves us so much that he sent us his only Son. And we can focus on the sacrifices that Jesus made to love us, knowing how it would all finish. God commands us to love one another in these ways. It is like God commanding fish to swim and birds to fly. It is like God commanding snowdrops and daffodils to be beautiful. And when God commands us to love as he loves, God is simply commanding us to be the kind of people that we are created to be in the first place. And that's what it's all about. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, your love is infinite, all-embracing, everlasting. Help us to live out our lives following your guide, loving one another, maturing as we grow, enabling us to make love our goal, our reason, and our purpose for living. Amen. Our next hymn, Let Us Build a House Where Love Can Dwell.
Thank you.
Let us come together again in prayer, the prayer of dedication for the offering and our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. We do not need to speak in tongues, but to offer words of encouragement. We do not have to be know-it-alls, but those who work to lift the burdens off those around us. We do not need to give everything, but we will join our gifts that we give with those of others to reach out in love to those who have nothing. This we pray in Jesus' name. Loving God, please continue to embrace this world with your inclusive judgment and mercy. We pray for humanity with all its fear and division, self-deceit and injustice. For bigoted groups who feel so sure of themselves that they exclude from their fellowship all other races, cultures and religions. And for those who are so unsure of themselves that they are constantly pulled this way and that without any security or peace. For arrogant and powerful nations who seek to manipulate, dominate and ruthlessly exploit other countries. And for smaller nations that have much to offer the world community but are too reticent or afraid to stand up and be counted. For any in this congregation today who have found their faith strengthened, their hope uplifted, and their love deepened. And for any who may still be feeling barren of soul or anxious and depressed about the future. We pray for those in our own congregation and those known to us who need some extra love and care just now. We keep Amos close to our hearts and thank you for bringing him safely home, home to Florence and the children, and home to us. In a moment of personal silence, we think of those that we wish to bring to you, whatever their need. During this time of difficulty posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, may we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have no risk factors remember those most vulnerable. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health or paying their rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when the schools close remember those who have no options. May we who have had to cancel our trips remember those who have no safe place to go. May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home. As fear grips our country, let us choose love. During this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us find ways of being the loving embrace of God to our neighbours. For your love's sake. Amen. And now our closing hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Oh,
God touches our mouths, so may we go to share the good news. Jesus touches our hands, so we may serve all in need of life and hope. The Spirit touches our hearts, so we may be a haven for those who are longing for acceptance and love. Let us now go out into the world and to do God's will for us.